The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. My name is DJ Jesse, and as a travel enthusiast, I'm beyond excited to bring you this 10-episode long series. In this series, I'll be talking about travel tips, some of my favorite places, and why exactly you should travel. This is the Enlightened Tourist, and I'm glad to have you here. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Enlightened Tourist. I'm your host, DJ Jesse, and in this episode, I will be talking about the brief history of Key West, my recommendations on hotels, activities, and food, and lastly, towards the end of the episode, I will be giving you some tips and tricks for whenever you choose to visit Key West, Florida. I went to Key West this past summer, in July of 2021, for my 18th birthday with my brother and my best friend and her family. I had so much fun there, and it's a place that I want to go back to for sure, sometime in the near future. Key West is located 150 miles from the southern tip of the state of Florida, and it's at the end of the Florida Keys Islands. According to the Conch Tour Train, the Florida Keys and Key West officially became part of the United States on March 5th, 1822, when Lieutenant Commander Matthew C. Perry, a high-ranking member of the U.S. Navy, sailed a ship called the Shark to the island and planted the American flag there. Whenever I travel somewhere, I always try and see if there are any resort hotels in that area, because resorts have everything in such close proximity to each other, like restaurants, small shops and boutiques, and tourist excursions. In Key West, I recommend the Opal Key Resort and Marina. It's a four-star hotel located between the Key West Aquarium and the Harry S. Truman Little Lighthouse. It is directly next to the Key West Harbor, so all of the attractions and the little shops are just within a walking distance of the hotel. They have a restaurant called Bistro 245, where you can have a direct view of the Key West Harbor if you choose to eat outside. But they also have indoor seating as well, if that's what you prefer. They serve breakfast every day from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., lunch from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and dinner from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Their breakfast menu features the best and fluffiest buttermilk pancakes that I've ever had in my entire life, and it is served with pure Vermont maple syrup. I haven't tried anything from their lunch menu yet, but from their dinner menu, I recommend the lobster mac and cheese as an appetizer, and then the primavera pasta as an entree. The primavera pasta is penne pasta with fresh garlic, basil, mushrooms, spinach, bell peppers, broccolini, asparagus, herb tomato sauce, and Parmesan cheese. They also have a poolside bar called Castaways, and here you can enjoy some yummy snacks and delicious cocktails. They also just recently opened up a sunset deck that is located right above the Bistro 245. They open at 4 p.m. every day, and here you can enjoy a delicious evening dinner while getting a great view of the beautiful Florida sunset at the same time. As far as other amenities, they have a beautiful pool where you can relax in the warm sun surrounded by beautiful tropical trees and plants. There is also their massage studio, where you can get a professional massage by a licensed therapist. I mean, who doesn't want a good massage every now and then? Now for my favorite part of traveling, seeing all of the attractions. One of my favorite memories that I have from Key West definitely has to be when I went jet skiing for the very first time. The Opal Key Resort is conveniently located very close to the Key West Harbor, which means that all guests staying at that resort have access to lots and lots of fun water activities, like jet skiing, snorkeling, and parasailing. I haven't been snorkeling or parasailing yet, so I'll tell you about the very funny and slightly embarrassing story that I have from when I went jet skiing in Key West. So before we could start on the actual jet ski, we had to take a boat safety test that was required by the state of Florida if we wanted to be able to drive and control the jet ski. After my brother and I and my best friend and her family all passed our boat safety tests. We were all assigned to different jet skis, and I decided to ride with my brother because I was too scared to control the jet ski myself. Once we all had our life jackets on, the jet ski experts then gave the drivers a brief lesson on how all of the controls worked and what to do in the case of an emergency. And then we were off. My brother was doing a pretty good job controlling the jet ski for the most part, but then we got to the area of the water where the wind was really loud and the waves were starting to get a bit bigger. I remember the jet ski experts telling us beforehand that this is where you might want to slow down a little, unless you were a daring person and wanted to jump the waves. Well, my brother wanted to jump the waves, so he didn't slow down at all, and we ended up jumping the waves and catching a lot of air. This was all super fun, thrilling, and exhilarating at first, until I started to feel like my body was starting to tilt to one side of the jet ski, and that I was having a hard time centering my body on top of the jet ski. The next thing I know, I start to feel like my brother's going too fast, so I try to tell him to take the key out of the ignition so that the jet ski could come to a stop, so that I could get into the proper position on top of the seat. He couldn't hear me because the engine was really loud and so was the wind. Not even a minute later, I fall off of the jet ski and my butt is on the floor where our feet go. Luckily, my brother noticed that the weight of the jet ski was getting lighter, so he stopped it and the jet ski experts were able to help me get back on top of the jet ski. I didn't end up falling into the water, but I came out of this experience with a large bruise on the back of my thigh. The jet ski experts then asked me how I fell off, and I told them that I had been holding on to the back of a strap on my brother's life jacket, and as his body began to sway, so did mine, and I fell off. That's when my best friend's mom told me that I was supposed to hold onto the handlebars that were located to the side of my seat, since these were fastened to the actual jet ski itself and were much more stable than the strap on my brother's life jacket, which would move whenever my brother's body moved. So basically, moral of the story, if you go jet skiing and you're sitting in the back, hold onto the handlebars, not the life jacket of the person in front of you. Another attraction that I recommend is the Ernest Hemingway House. It is located across from the Key West Lighthouse, and it's open every day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. As you walk through the Hemingway House and explore all of its rooms, you get to learn more about Hemingway's life and see where he produced the majority of his famous pieces of writing. Ernest Hemingway was a huge cat person, so when you're in the Hemingway House and Museum, you'll get to meet the 60 cats or so that live there, and they are well taken care of by the museum staff. The cats have access to the entire museum, and they even have an on-site vet that makes sure all of the cats are as healthy as possible. The cats are super friendly, and I remember them just laying on their beds, peacefully sleeping in the room, and just enjoying all the love and attention they were getting from the museum visitors. Outside of the actual home itself, visitors also get to explore the beautiful pool and garden. There is a beautiful swimming pool that is surrounded by lots of trees and flowers, and if you're lucky, you might even get to see a couple of the 60 cats wandering around outside. The last stop of the tour of the Ernest Hemingway Museum is to the gift shop. Here you can purchase some merch, stationery, and some of Hemingway's most famous books, such as The Old Man and the Sea, as well as The Dangerous Summer. Even if you're like me and aren't really that into books and stories, I still think that this is a place that you would enjoy because of the adorable cats and the beautiful scenery of the gardens. As for food recommendations, a restaurant that I think everyone must try in Key West is called Blue Heaven. They are located at the corner of Petronia and Thomas Street, and they are open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They serve breakfast and lunch from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and their dinner service is from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. I haven't had the chance to try their breakfast and lunch menu, but from their dinner menu, I recommend the Caribbean barbecue shrimp as an appetizer. On the menu, it's described as pan-blackened Key West shrimp, deglazed with red stripe beer, and it's absolutely delicious. It is also offered as an entree, but if you order it as an appetizer, it also comes with cornbread muffins. For an entree, I recommend the Yellowtail Snapper. It is described as a sautéed filet with pasta, citrus beurre blanc, and tropical fruit. As for dessert, you can't leave Key West without at least trying the Key Lime Pie. The Key Lime Pie at Blue Heaven is described as being topped with meringue on a graham cracker crust with freshly squeezed lime juice. Lastly, I'm going to share some things that you should know before you officially make the trip to Key West, according to the information from the Destination Daydreamer. The Destination Daydreamer recommends that you drive along the Overseas Highway when you are in Key West. It is a 113-mile-long highway that connects mainland Florida to all of the Florida Keys, which are Key Largo, Isla Mirada, Marathon, Big Pine, the Lower Keys, and Key West. This, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful drives that you could possibly ever go on, as you get to see the beautiful bright blue water as you drive on the highway. As for when you should come to Key West, the best time for you to come is during the shoulder season, which is from April to June. During this time, the weather in Key West is a bit cooler, ranging from the 70s to the 80s in Fahrenheit. The prices overall are a bit more affordable during this time period compared to other times in the year when tourism in Key West is at its peak. The winter season, which is from November to March, is usually the busiest time of the year for the tourism industry in Key West, and prices during this time period will be significantly higher. I went to Key West in July, towards the end of July actually, which is during the hurricane season, which usually ranges from June 1st to November 30th. The winds weren't too bad when I was in Key West, but there were a couple days where my best friend and her family, as well as my brother and I, were caught in extremely heavy rainstorms, but each one only lasted for about 3 or 4 hours from what I remember. I can vividly remember us driving back to the hotel after dinner during one of these crazy heavy rainstorms, and it was just insane to see the streets go from being full of tourists 1 minute to being completely empty the next, as soon as the rainstorm started. There were only about 4 cars driving on the street at the same time as we were, and there was not a single person outside at all. Even though the hurricane season in Key West spans from June to November, the heaviest storms can be expected from August to October. Just to recap, in this episode, I talked about the history of Key West, the different activities and foods that I recommend, as well as what you should know before you plan your trip to Key West. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to tune into the 5th episode where we will be talking about Rome, Italy. Until next time, bye!